All right, I think we're live. We are. I see the little red live thing up there. So we want to welcome our online guests. It's great to have you with us this morning. If you don't have a home church of your own, we would love to have you come out and worship with us on a Sunday morning. Our gatherings start at 10 o'clock. And of course, for more information, you can check out our website at christianlifecommunitychurch.net. It's great to have you with us this morning. Welcome. And welcome to you here in person as well. Great to have you out. Enjoying this spring-like day this morning with all the sunshine. Yeah, warmer temperatures. I'm ready for spring. Who else is with me on that? You ready for spring? Yeah. I was ready for spring a month and a half ago, I think. We had that warm stretch, and boy, that just lit my fire. So hopefully we'll see it sooner rather than later. Before I get in really to the message, I just want to go over a couple of things. If you want to follow along, I'm in Joshua chapter 1. And I just, let me just read a little bit and then we'll discuss it. In Joshua 1:1, it says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua." Okay? So God is speaking to Joshua. Remember, Moses was this leader that God raised up and obviously led Israel out of bondage. And they're on the verge of going into the promised land. Moses is called home by the Lord. And now Joshua, his assistant for many years, takes over as the leader of the nation of Israel. And the Lord is speaking to him. In verse 3 it says, "Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses." Now let's skip down to verse 6. Again, this is the Lord speaking to Joshua. Okay? In verse 6, the Lord says, "Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them." Verse 7, "Only be strong and very courageous." Now wait a second. Didn't he just say that in the previous verse?
Yeah, he did.
What, does God have Alzheimer's or something? Did he forget that he said that? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. Let's read on a little bit. Verse 7, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you to do." Skip to verse 9. "Have I not commanded you?" Again, God speaking to Joshua, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Three times God says something to Joshua. And it wasn't that he forgot the first time or two. Why is he doing this? Because this is important. This is critical that Joshua gets this. In order for him to be successful in walking out the kingdom plans that God has for Joshua and for the people of God. And so he says it three times. And then if you even skip to the end of the chapter, Joshua, the Lord has Joshua send people out to make this announcement to all the people of Israel. And their response is at the end of verse 18, this is how they respond to it. "Only be strong and of good courage." So three times the Lord speaks to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous." And then he has the people echo it to Joshua as well. This is key. This is critical. It is important that Joshua gets this reality, that he gets this, this exhortation from the Lord if he's going to be successful. And so I just want to bring that home to us. If we hear something again and again, is the Lord doing the same thing with us? Is he trying to stress something to us? Because it's important that we get that if we're going to be successful in the kingdom things that he's called us to do. I would say yes. I would say yes. And I would say that the Lord has been doing that over the past several months. I mean, there's, four or five of us that preach here, and it is uncanny how one has shared something, a certain idea, a certain truth, a certain concept, and somebody else has maybe from a different perspective shared really the same type of concept or the same truth. And the reason is the Lord wants us to get this.
Yes.
He is preparing us for battle, like Dory was sharing this morning. He is preparing us for a move of God that I believe He wants to bring to this region. There's some things that He needs to work into us first, because He's preparing us before He can unleash, really, this move of God that He wants to do. And along those lines, I just want to review just real quick what I feel the Lord wants to do. I shared a few weeks ago how the Lord has called me into this season of prayer, and I've been going to the mountain, literally, going up to Pine Grove Furnace State Park. And the Lord said, if you come to the mountain, I'll speak to you. And some things that He spoke to me, I'll just share real quick. I've shared this before, but again, I just want to remind us, because God is preparing us for something amazing. That this region would be a stronghold of My kingdom, a stronghold of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, a prosperous region transformed by My Spirit being poured out continuously, a region marked by the gifts, a region marked by healing, signs, and wonders continuously happening, a region known as a prophetic community, a powerful people, a generous people, a people who are a conduit of the grace of God, a people who are able to flow with the King of Kings, a people who love Jesus and love others, a people marked by God. That's His heart for this region. That's His heart for us. And He is preparing us for that move of God that He's going to be bringing. That's exciting. But with preparation, it takes some effort on our part, right? No matter what you're doing, if you're playing in a football game, if you're getting ready to teach a class in school, if you're getting ready to do a shift at the factory, whatever you do, there's preparation involved in that. And He is actively preparing us for this move of God. Amen? So you hear the same thing over and over. Don't be frustrated like, oh, I just heard that 2 weeks ago. No. Take notice. The Lord is emphasizing this. And for those of us that preach, if, you know, on a Sunday morning, three people get up and prophesy your 3 points, don't be discouraged and be like, oh, now what am I going to share? No, no. God is emphasizing something. That's confirmation in your heart. Yeah, I have the word of the Lord this morning. 3 people just prophesied my sermon. I'm on the right track here. God is speaking to us. Amen? And so let's be very aware and very sensitive to what the Lord is speaking to our hearts. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for Your goodness. We thank You that it's Your goodness that leads us to repentance. The goodness of God. Hallelujah. We thank You for Your goodness. And Lord, that we would continue to experience Your goodness this morning, and that it would cause us to repent, to change our mind about things that don't line up with You, don't line up with Your nature, don't line up with Your word. Help us to make that exchange even this morning, as we are in Your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. There are some things that the Lord offers to us. Sorry. That are unconditional. Unconditional. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave. Unconditional. Right? His unconditional love He gives to each and every one of us. Every one of us here can confidently say, the Creator of the universe loves me. He unconditionally gives us His love. There are other things that the Lord offers to us that are conditional, where He says, if you do this, I will do this, right? So there's both. It's not either or, it's both and. And how many of us as parents do the same thing? Okay, I'm just going to have to, like, as a statue, stand here and preach, I guess. How many of us as parents do the same thing? We unconditionally love our children, right? But at times, we offer a conditional promise. Okay, if everyone is good at the eye doctor today, we'll go out for ice cream afterwards. Conditional. If you do this, I will do this. Doesn't affect the love that I have for you as my son or daughter, though. I love you conditionally. That never changes. Okay? So we're talking about some conditional and unconditional things this morning. One of the most well-known ones is 2 Chronicles 7:14. You'll remember this as soon as I start to read it. If my people, right, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive them their sins and heal their land. Is this conditional or unconditional? Conditional. If you do this, the Lord says, I will do this. So the Lord says, if you do this, I will do this. That's conditional. What doesn't change in the midst of that is God's love for everyone. God's love for mankind. That never changes. Amen? So, think of the rich young ruler. How this young man comes to Jesus and he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus meets him right where he is and says, keep the commandments. And this guy fires back and says, I have kept the commandments. And he lists some of the commandments that he's kept. And he says, what else must I do? And then Jesus gives him something that's very challenging. And he says to this rich young ruler who has a lot of wealth, a lot of resources, a lot of material things, he says to him, remember, sell all that you have and give it to the poor and follow me. And that kind of froze him in his tracks, didn't it? The rich young ruler. Because the priority of his material things had a very high place in his heart. Amen? And the rich young ruler wasn't able to come back and say, I'll do it, Jesus. It said that he walked away. But what did it say of Jesus' attitude towards him? It said that Jesus loved him. So here we see both at work. Jesus loves him regardless of what this guy does. And he asks him to reprioritize some things in his life, to bump the material things down a bit, and to bump his relationship with God up to first place. And he's not able to do it at that time, right? And Jesus is essentially saying, if you'll do this, you will be blessed. It's very conditional. But what's unconditional is the love that Jesus has for him. Amen? And I believe as God is preparing us for the move that he wants to bring to this region, he may be asking some of us to do these very challenging things as well. Either letting go of something or reprioritizing things in our hearts. Amen? And how will we respond to that? And I would just encourage us that maybe you're in a place right now where things are pretty good. Like, I don't have a crisis going on. There's not any emergencies going on. Work is going okay. Family's okay. I would encourage, if you're in that place, why not settle it in your heart now? How you want to respond when the Lord does ask you to do something challenging like this. Does that make sense? Like, why not settle it in your heart now? I'm deciding now that when the Lord asks me to do something that's challenging, my response is going to be yes. Now, it'll feel totally different when you're in the moment when God is asking you. But you'll be more apt to say yes in that moment if you settle it in your heart now. For example, years ago, when I was in youth ministry, I would always encourage young people when it came to, like, being physical with your boyfriend or girlfriend, decide it in your heart now how you're going to respond when you're in that situation. Don't wait until you're in the back seat of a car and the windows are steamed up to decide then what you're going to do. Do you get what I'm saying? Make that decision, settle that in your heart ahead of time, because when you're in the moment, things can be a little crazy. And in a similar way, I'm encouraging us to settle it in our hearts now. Right? To settle it in our hearts now. God, when you ask me to do something that's difficult, I'm deciding now. I'm going to say yes. And Lord, would you give me your grace to be able to walk it out as well? I don't want to just talk the talk. I want to walk the walk. And by your Spirit, and by your grace, and by your power, I know that I'll be able to. Amen? Because you want to prepare me for something that you're leading us into. So I'm in agreement with you. Amen? Let's look at a couple other examples. Remember when Jesus and his disciples were at the wedding in Cana? And what happened? They ran out of wine. And this was like a major no-no in that culture, right? And the mother of Jesus, Mary, came to him and was explaining the situation. I remember at first he said, it's not my time. And then Mary says something to the servants that are around. Remember what she says? She looks at him and says, whatever he says to do, do it. Whatever he says to do, do it. And as they were obedient to do what Jesus was asking them to do, something supernatural happened. Something amazing happened. And remember, they filled the water pots. Jesus said, take some of it and take it to the master. Now, at any point along the way, they could have said, whoa, wait a second, what are we doing here? What do you mean fill these water pots? Like, I have other responsibilities. I have other duties. I have another schedule. I have another list in mind of what I think I need to do. Or when he said, take some to the master, they could have said, why would I just take water to him? Like, he's going to fire me on the spot. Or worse. I mean, there could have been all kinds of questions, red flags, concerns along the way. But as they were obedient to do what Jesus asked them to do, they participated in something supernatural. And so it is for us as well, that as we reprioritize, because maybe for some of us, maybe fear has a higher priority in our hearts than what it should. Maybe anger. Maybe tradition. What you're asking me to do doesn't line up with my tradition, the way that we've always done it, Lord. Right? I mean, you can see there can be many different heart things going on that would otherwise prevent us from saying yes to God. And those are the things that I believe God is asking us to either let go of or reprioritize. Control. Maybe for some of us, control is the thing that we need to let go of or knock down further on the list. Because if I can't control the situation and you're asking me to do something different, Lord, I don't think I want to go there because I want to hold on to control. You see what I'm saying? We were at a men's conference. Mike and I, we were out in, I think it was Brinkhaven, Ohio, last weekend at this place called Man Camp. Let me tell you, it was man camp. I mean, we met with the Lord. We had amazing sessions. We saw a guy healed of plantar fasciitis. We saw two guys healed of swimmer's ear symptoms. We saw a back healed. I mean, it was amazing. God just showed up in a powerful way. So all that was happening, and it was good. And it was man camp because you could go ride four-wheelers and side-by-sides and shoot clay pigeons and compound bows and a laser tag. I mean, this was man camp, you know? And I mean, breakfast was this egg thing loaded with sausage and onions and potatoes and bacon. And it was man camp. Do you hear me? Do you get what I'm saying? And, you know, there was this time at the end where there was this powerful message that was shared on forgiveness. And then at the end, there was opportunity given for guys to come up and just kind of share what God did in their hearts over the weekend. And this big, like 6'3", burly guy comes up. And we'll call him George. George comes up and just tears are streaming down his eyes. And George comes up and shares how that message on forgiveness really impacted him. And George went on to explain how his father, his biological father, abandoned their family when he was a young boy and didn't really have much to do with him throughout his life growing up. And he felt abandoned and he felt rejected and he was hurt badly by his father not being there. And even when he was there, I don't know that he was really there anyways. You get what I'm saying? And this affected George. And George said, I got to go to him and forgive him. And he's very honest. He said, I don't want to go to him because he's hurt me so badly. But he knew that the Lord was speaking to his heart. And if he was going to be able to have a release and freedom and be empowered to walk in the things that God's called George to do, he needs to go do this and forgive his dad. Although it's something that he absolutely doesn't want to do and is actually fearful of doing. These are the kinds of heart issues that the Lord wants to deal with us now in preparation for this move of God, right? You don't want to get in the heat of battle and realize I didn't prepare properly for this, right? We don't want to be in the midst of new souls coming into the church and realize I'm chasing them away because of this thing in my heart, right? We want to yield and give God our yes in the time of preparation now so that when He moves and we don't inhibit what He wants to accomplish. Amen? Look, I know the tone of this is kind of serious, and I just want to reemphasize this isn't a bad thing. This is a good thing that the Lord is doing in our hearts. Years ago, there was this football player named Tiki Barber, who was a running back for the New York Giants. And excuse me, going back to his college days at University of Virginia, he had a reputation for fumbling the football. As a running back, that's not a good thing, right? I mean, you can gain 100 yards over the course of a game, but if you fumble it 3 times and your opponent scores 2 touchdowns off of that, that can cost you the game. And so his coach came to him and said, Tiki, you got this issue. We got to work on this. We can't have you fumbling the ball as often as you do. You got to get better in this area for yourself and for the sake of the team. And so he was willing to put the work in, and his fumbles went down drastically. And he was more of an asset to his team after he put in the work than he was before. That's what I'm talking about, right? The Lord's not trying to tear us down, not trying to discourage us, not trying to belittle us. He's trying to help bring us up. Amen? Especially in light of what he's about to do. We had a men's breakfast here a couple Saturdays ago, and we had something like 7 or 8 churches represented, and there was such a spirit of oneness, such a spirit of unity there. My friend Brooke from Chambersburg came up and just shared this amazing journey that the Lord has had him on, where the Lord asked him to resign from this 6-figure income position that he had had for 30 years, and which was tough for him. You can imagine. You want me to resign this job? Like, I'm the only breadwinner in my family, you know? Like, it's my income that pays all the bills. And you want me to step down from this position? Yeah,
That's what I want you to do.
On top of that, the Lord asked him to give away his 401k retirement plan. Now, for somebody that's making six figures over the long haul, that's not a small fund, is it? I'm betting it's multi-millions. And Brooke was obedient to do that and gave it away. Long story short, about a year later, the Lord promotes him and he gets his boss's job, who's leaving the company. So in the end, he resigned, gave away everything, his retirement, and then gets promoted and gets an upgrade at the end. And now he's got a story to tell. He's got a testimony to tell of the goodness of God. So anyway, that was shared, and other guys were given testimonies. It was just great, and that such oneness and unity. And I was driving home, and I was thanking the Lord, just for bringing us together in unity. And I felt like the Lord spoke this to me. You're going to need to be one. You know, I was thanking him for the oneness and unity. The Lord said, you're going to need to be one to handle the kingdom expansion that I am bringing. Souls and more souls. The scale of this expansion is larger than you are thinking. Prepare for new souls. Prepare to disciple and mentor. Prepare to teach and train and release folks into their destiny. Prepare to prophesy. Prepare to flow in my spirit. So maybe the Lord is asking me to change or reprioritize my sense of unity. Maybe he's asking me to change how I look at other denominations, look at other groups. Because we're going to need to have unity. We're going to need to have oneness to be able to steward the move of God that he's about to bring. So all these heart conditions, all these things that maybe nobody knows about is in me or is in us. That's what the Lord is honing in on and asking us to either let go of or to change. And some of it can be very difficult, like it is for my friend George, going to forgive his father who abandoned him and hurt him badly. You know, God can turn that situation around. I mean, who's to say George doesn't end up sharing the gospel with his father and leading him to the Lord if he's not already saved? I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. As George is yielding to the processing that the Lord is bringing into his life, as he is involved in this conditional promise, if you go forgive your father, you'll be blessed. I could totally see that happen, couldn't you? God can do it. You know, I was talking to a friend recently who told me about an outreach that he was at in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. And they were out on the street and they were evangelizing like one-on-one, but they were also doing like street preaching and preaching the gospel. And this woman showed up who started to kind of antagonize their group. And she started just yelling and kind of being disruptive. And they tried to just stay focused and continue with what they were there to do, share the gospel. And it got actually out of hand. And as she's getting louder and things are kind of escalating, a crowd begins to form. And at one point, like I won't go into detail, but she like flashed these guys and said some vulgar stuff. And at that point you think, am I really in the will of God right now? I mean, because it's just starting to get a little crazy. And the Lord totally turned that situation around. And all of a sudden, one of the team members says, you were raped four times before you were 12 years old. And she instantly fell to her knees, burst into tears, and said, how did you know that? And long story short, they share the gospel with her and lead her to Jesus that day. He's able to turn it around. We feel like we're in a crazy situation. We feel like all hell is breaking loose. And God's saying, no, I got you right where I want you. And you've yielded to my preparation, and I brought you here to this place to minister to that person. as we yield and give God our yes to the heart things that He wants us to reprioritize or just get rid of altogether. You know, this is what happened at the day of Pentecost. Why don't we turn there? Let's go to Acts chapter 2. I'll actually go to Acts chapter 1 in verse 4. It says, "And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem," Jesus, "but to wait for the promise of the Father, which," He said, "you have heard from Me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So here's the condition. Followers of Jesus, if you wait, you will receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. If you wait, you will receive power to do what I've called you to do. So what did the disciples do? They waited in the upper room, right? And God was good on His promise. They said yes to the condition that God put in front of them. Will you wait? Well, I don't like to wait. I'm an impatient guy. Okay. I mean, it's up to you what you're going to do with this, right? We can either give God our yes or not. The rich young ruler walked away. I would suggest that we would be better off if we said yes to Him though, right? And as they were obedient, they received the promise. So we're going to wrap up here in just a moment. And there could be, you know, if we had 10 people, the Lord's dealing with you on something, it could be 10 different issues, right? It could be control. It could be comfort. Maybe comfort has a very high priority in my heart, and God is not so high as a priority. My comfort, what feels good to me is what's important, even above the importance in my heart that I place on God. My preference, tradition, view of others, forgiveness. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. The point is, let's spend time waiting on Him and asking, "Lord, is there anything You want me to let go of or reprioritize?" And He'll speak to your heart. And then we decide where we're going to go from there. Just one more quick example, and then we'll wrap up. Whenever, of course, Moses led the people of God out of Egypt, they came to the Red Sea, and God commanded him to stretch forth His staff, and the Lord miraculously parted the waters, and Israel walked through on dry ground. Years later, when Israel is getting ready to go into the Promised Land, they come to the Jordan River. Remember, they're being led by the presence of God, the Spirit of God. And this time, the Lord instructs Joshua to have the priests and these men carrying the Ark of the Covenant, which is the presence of God, He instructs them to walk into the water. And as they walk into the water, then He splits the water and Israel walks on dry ground. And what I'm pointing out is that it was the same type of situation. In each instance, God did something supernatural, miraculous, that enabled the people of God to walk through the water on dry land. But He did it two different ways. And what if Joshua or Caleb or somebody who heard about what God had done at the Red Sea said, "Wait a second, this isn't how God does it. Joshua should have his staff and stretch it out because that's what God did with Moses." See, we can be so locked in to how we've experienced God in the past, and we always expect Him to move that way. And God's saying, "No, I'm going to do it differently this way." And especially for those of us who have experienced past moves of God, let's look back fondly and appreciate what God did in those times, but let's not lock him in to say that's how he has to move this time. Because my sense is that he will move differently than he did in the past. But if we're so focused on, well, this is how he did it the last time, we can possibly miss. So maybe that's a heart issue in some of us that God is asking us to let go of or reprioritize. Amen? So if you'll stand with me, I'm just going to pray and turn it back over to Pastor Steve. And I feel like, you know, this is one of those messages where the Lord can absolutely speak to us right here, right now. And perhaps he has with some of us. But over the next days and weeks and months, I believe that the Lord will continue to bring this to our hearts and to our minds and will continue to speak to us in order to prepare us for what he is about to unleash. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your unconditional love that never changes. You so love that you gave your best so that we can be reconciled to you. Lord, we thank you for the unconditional promises that you give us. And Lord, we thank you for the conditional promises that you give to us as well. And so, Lord, as you speak to our hearts today, or tomorrow, or this coming week, or this coming month, Lord, that you would give us your grace to say yes to you. That we would be like those servants at the wedding reception. That whatever you tell us to do, Jesus, that we would do it. And that we would be a part of something supernatural that you do in our midst. That we would be a part of something that testifies to the goodness of God, to the power of God, to the love of God, as we are willing to give you our yes and be obedient to things that you're asking us to let go of or reprioritize in our hearts. Lord, we thank you that your grace is sufficient to help us to do that, and we just bless and thank you for this amazing move of God that you're going to bring to this region and that we get to participate with you in it. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Pastor Steve.